Well, let me say again how much we truly appreciate everyone here. We're so glad you came. We have a good number today, and I'm excited about that, and I know the Lord is, and we have visitors, and we're so grateful that you come to be with us, and please come back anytime that you can. If you're not in a hurry, we'd like to meet you and maybe talk to you before you leave today, so just hang around a bit if you don't mind. Let me tell you also, if you're visitors, I'm not the preacher. Brother Greg Tucker is. We have a practice here at Harvest on the first Sunday of the month. The elders have allowed a guest preacher or guest teacher, whatever how you want to call it. So I do this a few times a year and I always look forward to it. So hopefully what I prepared today will help us all. I would like to look at a passage in James chapter 4. James chapter 4. If you would like to turn your Bibles there. Here in James chapter 4, about the middle of verse 14, James asked a question. He asked, "What is your life?" Very familiar question that he asked there. What is your life? Indeed, for many, there's no greater question to be answered. There is no greater pursuit in life than to find what the meaning of their life really is. Many ask themselves, they say, "What is the meaning of my life? You know, what is my life all about? Why do I exist?" Songs have been written about it and films have been produced about it. The answer to that question for most people is crucial to why they are here. It's probably the most asked philosophical question by humanity at large, and yet most people believe that they probably will never find the true answer to what the meaning of their life is, for whatever reason. Common answers are these: the meaning of my life is to find happiness, to find fulfillment. Some say, "Well, I want to fall in love, and I want that love to last a lifetime. That's what I want to find." Some think, "I'm here to have a good time, to enjoy the days and the hours while I have them." Other people think it's to reproduce and to have a family. Some believe it's power. They say, "I want to get as much power as I can, perhaps to earn as much money as I can have." Some intellectual folks think it's knowledge. They want to learn as much as they possibly can, and that enhances their life through understanding or wisdom. Well, I would tell all of those people and remind us today that we were made by God and for God, and until we understand that, life will never, never make sense. You see, the real question is, what is my purpose in life? God never created anything without a purpose. Every plant and every creature on earth has a purpose. God has a purpose for every person that has been born. If your heart is beating, God has a purpose for you. Knowing why you exist and what your purpose in life is important to know. You see, if we want to know our purpose, we have to start with God. Because we do not create ourselves nor determine the reason for our existence. God did. Well, what does society tell us? Society tells us to look within ourselves for our purpose. Society, neither we ourselves nor does any man have the answers to our purpose or the deep issues of life. God does. Psychiatrist couches are full of people who seek the meaning of life. Jails and prisons are full of people who are confused about their purpose in life. Divorce courts are booked up with those who claim they need space so they can find themselves or find their purpose in life. Since we did not create ourselves, we cannot determine the true purpose of our lives. Or what we're supposed to do without the help of God. Because only He can tell us why He made us. Colossians chapter 1 verses 16 and 17 says, "For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 11 and 12 says, "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory." You see, these verses teach us that God created everything. And He has a purpose for us all. For everything He created, He has a purpose. Number one, He has predestined us to be saved through His Son, Jesus Christ. However, we must choose whether we will embrace salvation or not. We must choose whether we will fulfill our purpose in life, because God has given us a free will. One thing we must never forget, and one thing we must always realize, is that without God, folks, we wouldn't be here today. In Revelation chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for You created all things, and by Your will they exist and were created." God loves everything He created. He loves all of us here today. He loves us very much, even though we may disappoint Him at times. I mean, all of us as parents can understand this. We love our children. We love them no matter what they do. They break something, well, we get a little upset, but we love them. If they turn out to be bad, maybe a terrible type of a person in the world, we still love them. Now, we'll be very disappointed with them when they do the wrong thing, and we may serve them up a heaping of tough love, but we don't ever stop loving them. God's the same way. He loves every person that He has created. I'm even bold enough to say that God loves horrible men like Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein, and Osama bin Laden. Men like these chose their path and turned their back on God. Though their actions have caused them to not make it to heaven, guess what? God still loves their soul because He created them. All of us are special in the sight of God because He created us in His image. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3, 4, 5, and 6 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace by which He has made us accepted in the beloved." Now think about it for a minute. Before God laid the foundations of the earth, He had every one of you in mind. Before God laid the foundations of the earth, He had me in mind. What a comforting thought to know that. He had a plan for you and He had a plan for me way before He created the world. Now, I know it's difficult for us to understand this, but God knows all about us. Each and every one of us, He knows all about us. He knew us before we were even born and what we could potentially do if we chose the right path. He knew that. Notice what He tells Jeremiah. "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart." So what is our purpose in this life? Knowing that God loves us and is our Creator brings us to our first purpose. And that is to establish an eternal relationship with God. God created us to be His companions. And we have been given an eternal soul, but our physical bodies only last a few short years. The last part of that verse, James chapter 4, what did he say? Our life is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Folks, this life is short. It's so short. In fact, it's just a few short years. And the decisions that we make determine our eternal destiny forever. Life on earth is our one and only opportunity to prepare for eternity. And life on earth is very brief in comparison to eternity. And it begins with us wanting to know our God. And it begins with us wanting to love Him because He first loved us. God wants us to be part of His family. But we must choose that. God has made it possible for us to be reconciled to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 21 says, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him." You see, even though God knew that Adolf Hitler, Saddam Hussein, and Osama bin Laden were going to be sinful, He allowed Jesus to die for their sins. Even though He knew they were going to be terrible and do terrible things, He allowed Jesus to die for their sins. Even though God knew we were going to be sinful, He allowed Jesus to die for our sins. Don't you wish, like me, that more people really let that sink in? To really think in their minds and understand what God did for them? I wish they would truly recognize that today. Because if they did, there would be so many people here in church today. This place would be packed. There would be so many more Christians right now today if they truly let that sink in. I love being in the family of God. I love being a Christian. What a blessing it is to be allowed to be part of this family. God could have chosen not that because of sin. But He allowed it. His family is a spiritual family that will last for eternity. And we will get to live with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit forever. Where there will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more tears. We will get to live forever. But in order for us to do that, and to begin fulfilling our purpose of knowing God and loving Him, we must allow ourselves to become part of His spiritual family. The way we do this is by obeying the gospel and being born again. Peter says, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth, through the Spirit and sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever." You see, God wants us to read and study His Word, to learn about Him, and to learn about His plan for us, to learn about salvation. When we do that, when we go to His Word, and when we obey it, we see that it will cause us to be born again. We will be a born-again child of God. Jesus explained it to Nicodemus this way. He said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to Him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." You see, in order for us to become part of the family of God, we have to choose. We have to choose to believe that Jesus is the Son of God. We have to choose to repent of our worldly sins. We have to confess Jesus before man, be baptized, and then live a faithful life. That's how we become a Christian. Paul tells us that baptism is our death. And when we are brought back up out of the water, we become a child of God. We put away our old self because we have been born again. In Romans 6, Paul elaborates on this. He says, "Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Romans 6, verses 3 through 8. When we choose to become a Christian, when we choose to be baptized, our old self dies. I mean, we get a second chance. Our old self dies in that watery grave, and we are born again. We become a new creature, a new person in Christ, and we're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. God no longer sees our past sins because they have been washed away. God no longer sees our past sins because Jesus died to take them away. You see, obeying the gospel is the beginning point for us fulfilling the purpose of our life, because it establishes a relationship with God. He becomes my Father. I become His child. He loves me. And let me tell you, that has more meaning and purpose than anything in this world has to offer. More meaning than anything. Our second purpose in life as a Christian is to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord. Well, we do that so we can become more like Him. Jesus said in John 13, verses 15 and 16, "For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who sent greater than he who sent him." There is no greater honor in this life than to be like Jesus. We get that honor to be like Jesus. Yeah, we make mistakes and we know we're not going to reach that perfection as him, but we get that honor to be like him who saved us. The only way you and I can achieve this is by studying his word and living it. Living it out every day. I mean, we know no one can become like Christ overnight. I mean, how many of us have been Christian for years and we maybe still not getting it done? We grow every day, which is why we should understand the importance of growing each and every day to be like Jesus Christ. Now, one of my favorite chapters that sums up what we're to do once we're in is found in Colossians chapter 3. Those 25 verses there, you could preach a ton of sermons on. Now, there's a lot of details in that chapter, and I'm going to have it on the overhead, but I just want us to really read it together. And I want us to pay close attention to what it says we're to do as Christians, because this chapter tells us a whole lot about our purpose in life and how we're to strive to be like Christ and to live by the Word of God. It says, "If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through Him. Wives, submit to your own husbands as fitting to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be bitter towards them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not provoke your children, lest they become discouraged. Bondservants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. I mean, if Brother Greg was here, there's 10 or 15 sermons right there in that chapter. I mean, it's amazing of all that's in just that one chapter. I mean, it contains so many great qualities that we're to make part of our lives. It covers everything in general, from what we are to strive for in our personal lives, how we treat people, how we treat others, how we're to be in our marriages. I mean, there's just so much for us to do and learn from God in just this one chapter alone. I'm not counting the whole Bible, just this one chapter. I mean, our lives can be filled with such great purpose and meaning if we simply open our eyes to what He teaches us about ourselves and about living life. And if we do that, we will grow and we will mature as Christians and we will be more like Jesus Christ every day. But if we don't, we won't. The last thing I would mention is another great purpose in the life of a Christian is we're to serve others. I mean, since it is God who has made us, it is God who has created us, and it is God who has given us this new life through Jesus Christ, He planned a long, long time ago that we should spend our new lives helping others. When was the last time we actually helped someone in need? When was the last time we sacrificed our time, our money, or our energy and helped someone in need? God calls us to a service that the world doesn't understand. The world understands selfishness, not, you know, helping people. But God calls us to this service. We're put on earth by Him to make a contribution. Are we doing that? We weren't created just to consume resources like our teenagers think. They just eat, breathe, and take up space, right, when they're young? Well, that's okay then, but no, we're not put here for that, to consume resources. God designed us to make a difference with our lives. God wants us to give of ourselves and expect nothing in return. That's not what the world says. Ephesians 2, verse 10, Paul says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You see, these good works are our service to the world, our service to our neighbor, to our co-workers, to each other. Whenever we serve in any way, we are actually serving who? God. And we're fulfilling one of our main purposes in this life that He has set before us. Jesus, the ultimate example, says, "And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many." Matthew 20, verses 27 and 28. Now, while serving others can include many things, there's one very important one that I want to mention. We can tell others about the good news. We can teach them about Jesus Christ and the importance of following after Him. As He said in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, He said, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." You know, those of us that have chosen to embrace our purpose in life by living for God have truly been blessed beyond what we deserve, have we? We have been so blessed beyond what we deserve. We have been given something that we should not want to hide. We've been given something and we should not want to keep to ourselves and keep it a secret. We must do our part in giving those in the world the opportunity to hear the wonderful news of the gospel. We must do our part in giving those in the world the opportunity to hear what we have already accepted and made part of our lives. When's the last time you told someone that you're forgiven? That you're a knucklehead, but God loves you and He forgives you because you chose that salvation? When's the last time you told someone how peace is in your life, no matter what you're going through? The comfort you get from God, the love we get from the brothers and sisters. People need to know that. God wants every person He created to know that. He loves them. He created them. He wants them to hear that. He wants them to have the opportunity to repent and to become a Christian. 1 Timothy 2 verses 3 and 4 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." That's everybody. 2 Peter 3, 9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." God doesn't want any of His creation to perish. And since we know this is His desire, shouldn't it be ours too? Shouldn't that be our desire and our purpose in life? Yes, it should be. Isaiah 43 verse 7 says, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him." The reason we are here, the reason we exist, our purpose in life ultimately is for God's glory. Our purpose is to praise God, to worship Him, to proclaim His greatness, and to accomplish His will. This and only this is what glorifies Him. In this we find that God has given us a reason for our existence. He's given us meaning for our existence. We were created by Him according to His desire, and our lives are to be lived for Him so that we might accomplish what He has for us to do. You see, when we trust Him, when we trust the One who has made us, who works all things after the counsel of His will, then and only then are we able to have a life of purpose, able to live a life of purpose. So I guess the question really becomes, are you fulfilling your purpose in life? That's the question for us today. Are you doing what God created you to do, or are you just enjoying the life He gave you? Are you living a life of service, or are you just attending services? Your life and mine will only have meaning and fulfillment when we are doing what God created us to do. So today, I hope you're embracing your purpose in life, that God has spelled out for us in His Word very clearly. I hope you're doing that today. But if you're not, why not today embrace that purpose in your life and live for God? If you're not a Christian today, you can establish a relationship with God and become one of His children and live a meaningful and purposeful life. You can live a great life. Ask anybody here, it's a great life. Until Jesus returns. And when He returns to reward you and to reward all the faithful and take us to heaven to live in everlasting peace with Him, it will be wonderful. So today, if you're here and you're not doing very well in your life as a Christian, or you're not a Christian at all, please don't leave without making things right with God. We don't want you to miss out on heaven. We don't want you to miss out on eternity, because listen, this life is short. We're not promised tomorrow. Today's the day of salvation. So today, if we can help you, we invite you to come while we stand and sing.